world that he gave his only son. Love was the reason behind the incarnation. Love had arrived and was swaddled in a manger. Mary's the one through whom God chose to give this extraordinary gift of love. Quite the responsibility for this girl who is probably only around 15 years of age. We saw in the video that Mary, how she was pondering this gift of this child, Jesus, reflecting on all that she had seen and heard from the shepherds who had come to adore this child. And listen to how one other author describes the scene. Mary awakened in the wee hours of the morning at Jesus' cry. She drew him close and nursed him, marveling at what God had done. The night was still and silent as she cuddled Jesus close. She could see light streaming into the entrance of the cave and wondered at it. Taking up her shawl, Mary went to the cave entrance and gazed up at the night sky. Was it her imagination that one star shone more brightly than all the others? It was like a shaft of light breaking through the floor of heaven and shining down on the city of David. Had not the prophet Joel said the Lord would display wonders in the sky and on the earth when the Savior came? Lord Most High, Creator of all people, you who dwell in heaven so far above us, you who are holy, I love you. She pressed her clasped hands against her heart. I adore you. There is no other like you in all the universe. She closed her eyes, her heart filled with confident hope. You have made me the vessel for your son. Your kingdom will come. Through him you will reign upon the earth as you do in heaven. She looked up again. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be the name of your son, Jesus. The cold night breeze rippled past her. She hugged her arms around her. Though chilled, she remained at the cave entrance a moment longer, thinking about the day the angel of the Lord had come to her with the announcement that she would bear God's son. She thought of Joseph's dream and his acceptance of her and the miracle child she carried. She thought about the shepherds who had received the news of the Messiah's birth from the angels. And the more she thought about the things that had happened, the more that she realized her mind could not fathom all that the Lord had planned and would accomplish through her son. As Sean read for us this morning from Luke chapter 1, Scripture records an earlier time when Mary was pondering this gift of Jesus. It's a passage that is filled with worship. From the beginning, when Mary first received the news, from the depths of her being, she gives expression to her amazement, her adoration, her love of God. As Mary reflects on what's transpiring, she begins by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She starts by praising God for what he has done for her, and then focusing on what God has done and what he will do for others. This portion of Scripture has been referred to for years as the Magnificat. Magnificat is the Latin for to magnify. The New International Version uses the word glorify. My soul glorifies the Lord. The New American Standard Bible says, my soul exalts the Lord. The New Living Translation that was read this morning says, my soul praises the Lord. To magnify, glorify, exalt, praise is to declare as great, to honor, to increase in one's estimation. Psalm 34:3 tells us, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Out of the depths of Mary's being, she praises God. Mary's heart was filled with the joy of the Lord, and she expressed that joy in this song of worship. When Mary heard the news from the angel, that she would give birth to the Messiah, there were a variety of ways that she could have responded. Francis Schaeffer points out how Mary had probably three choices in how she could have responded. First, she could have said, "This is impossible. There is no way that this can happen, and I want nothing to do with it." She could have chosen just to walk away from it all. And sadly, that's the choice that many people do make today when they hear about Jesus and his claims. Many say, "Oh, this is impossible," and walk away. If that's been your response to Jesus, this Christmas I would urge you to remember and ponder and turn to him, to reconsider and open your heart, following Mary's example and not walk away. The second response that Mary could have had was to think, "I have the promise of the child. I will exert all my effort, and I myself will bring forth the Son of God." But on her own, she couldn't create the Savior. Same with us. Try as we might, we can't produce Jesus in us. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is not based on our own efforts. The third choice is the one that Mary took. Luke 1:38 tells us that Mary responded, saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Mary took God at his word. She didn't completely understand it, and she didn't know all that was going to happen. She simply admitted her inadequacy and trusted her life to God's promise. Her response was, "Here I am, Lord. I cannot make this happen, but you can. I give myself to you. Fulfill your word in me." Mary was overwhelmed, uncertain. She knew this was not going to be easy. It was a huge responsibility. She would be unjustly criticized, scorned. And she knew that there would be those who would reject and scorn Jesus. But she put her life into God's hands, trusting and worshiping him. And out of the depth of her being came praise. Worship is extolling God. It's about him and his greatness. It's not about us. The whole purpose of worship and praise is to honor and bless the Lord. Sometimes I think we reverse this, thinking that the purpose of worship is to make us feel good. And I don't know about you, but boy, that sure happened this morning as we worshiped. And that does tend to happen, but that is not the purpose. Worship is all about God and his greatness, not about us. Mary worships God, even though she was facing difficult circumstances. All of this was not easy. A baby conceived before she's married, she would have faced rejection by the people. Traveling then in a later portion of her pregnancy, and then no suitable lodging and having to give birth in a stable. Challenging enough to give birth, but no bed, and then foul odors surrounding you. I'm sure Joseph would have been supportive, but certainly not the same as having someone like a midwife there to assist you and help through the process and encourage you. But throughout all of this, Mary trusts and worships God. A good time to worship is when we are unsure, when we are facing difficult circumstances. Worship takes us the attention off of us, and it focuses on God, focusing on his might, his power, his mercy, his grace. And it's there that our faith is strengthened and deepened. Worship keeps our vision, our focus on the Lord, the God of love, not on those circumstances around us. The late Alex Buchanan stated, "God loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually." What a statement. And Alex went through a lot in his life. He was partially blind, and he had suffered a stroke that affected one side of his face. Alex was speaking at an event, and as he proceeded through his talk, he kept repeating this phrase, that God loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly and continually. And one man, upon hearing Alex speak, responded, "I really struggle with this because I know things about myself that no one else knows, and I find it difficult to believe that God loves me like this." Alex replied to him, "We all struggle with that. But God wants you to know that He approves of you. He wants you to know that He loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually." Especially when life is difficult, we can question this. We can wonder, does God really love me? At Christmas, we are reminded that, yes, indeed He does. The candle that we lit this morning is the fourth Sunday of Advent, is love. Here in the birth of Christ is the answer to our deepest longings. God demonstrating His love in reaching out to us. That's what we recall and what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus comes to us and says, "I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every moment of sin, shame, and dishonesty that has darkened your past. And my word is this: I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are." There's a song that I have found so encouraging, and it says, "The struggles that I face, the choices that I've made, can't stop your love for me. The darkness of the night, the scars I try to hide, can't stop your love for me. Where can I go from your presence? In your light, I am known. I am surrounded, I will not walk alone. Whatever lies ahead, you're with me every step. Can't stop your love for me." If we were to summarize what the Bible is all about in one word, apart from the word Jesus, the next word I think we could choose would be love. John in his gospel writes, "God is love." Daryl Johnson, in a Christmas devotional, wrote this that I found so valuable. He said, "Eternal life dwelling in the body, growing in Mary's womb, now dwells in anyone who belongs to Mary's Son. The living God, the God of Mary, wants to put within each of our broken lives the very life of His Son." Jesus would later say, "Abide in me and I in you. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." When we receive the gift of God's love, He abides in us. And as a result, our lives produce fruit. Love. The love that God has for us is not just to be received. It's also intended to be extended to others. Jesus gives us a clear command: love one another as I have loved you. It isn't always easy, but God empowers us. When we really know God's love for us, our lives are transformed, and we can reach out and love others. Mary's heart and life would never be the same. Neither should ours when we allow the love of Christmas fully to be born in us. We receive this gift of love from the loving hand of God. May we, like Mary, welcome Him into our lives, receiving His love, presenting our lives to God in full devotion as we seek to live for His glory and we experience His love and share that with others. Celebrating Christmas is an opportunity to remember God's love for us, becoming man so that we might have life, forgiveness, and enter into a relationship with Him, having Him dwell in us. Our response? To stop and to give thanks, to worship and adore Him. Each Sunday through Advent, we have considered a Christmas carol, tying in the message of that particular carol to the sermon. The song for today is, "O Come All Ye Faithful." I think Mary would have nodded in agreement with these lyrics that were written 1,000 years later. "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels." The song, "O Come All Ye Faithful," is probably written by more than one person. The first printed Latin version of this song was released in 1751, and it was titled Adeste Fidelis. An English version wasn't released until nearly 100 years later. And the reason for this was because at that time, some Christians didn't believe that hymns should be sung in English. They thought Latin was the only language for hymns. I'm so thankful that has changed. It shows how we can carry particular ideas about worship songs. It's been going on for a long time. We can get pretty uptight about music. But the message of this great Christmas carol is still the same today. It helps us think about the people who came to see the newborn King and to worship and adore Jesus as they did. It reminds us that we are to worship Christ as our Lord. The challenge, I think, for us is we can sometimes not really think about those words. The carol has become so familiar that we can miss out on having that heart response. But Jesus would want us to experience the same joy that the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and the wise men felt as they knelt before that infant King in the manger. We are to come and adore him, just like Mary and the shepherds adored the infant Jesus. As we sing, "O come all ye faithful," may we come joyful, triumphant, knowing that Christ is our King. You know, there might have been several authors of this Christmas carol, but they all hoped for the same thing. They wanted to call all the faithful to remember the manger scene in Bethlehem and joyfully worship Christ as Lord. May we come and adore him. Out of the depth of our being, may we echo with Mary, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." No matter where we find ourselves, may we come and worship, exalting the one who came to redeem, to save, who loves us. Let's pray.